Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. Mortgage interest rates have dropped. We're currently locking loans in the low threes and even down in the twos. If you've been sitting on the fence, it's time to make your move. Let's get you locked in now before it's too late. Apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right now. Here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:08 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, the cat on your right. Charlie L. Marlowe, works at the Two Fox.
Nice to meet you, Charlie. Welcome.
Nice to meet you, sir. I've seen you on the Fox Sports Midwest broadcast, although yesterday I stopped watching that game about halfway through.
It was a rough one. I couldn't issue a spirit win for the first time in many weeks, yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like the way they responded.
Well, the good news is they face a pitcher today who's subpar.
Who do they have?
I don't know. It's
Arrieta?
Yeah.
I feel like, his record's like 500 with an ERA of about 5?
Yeah. This is where Tim says he can immediately place what would be the sharp bet on today's game.
Well, I got, last night I was sitting there and I'm like, I think the Warriors are going to pawn the Thunder. And the Warriors are a basketball team. There's a league called the NBA, and it's very
popular. I like college.
I like the way college games played, though. Better quality. Why is that? I don't know. I just like it better. Less thugs. But the Warriors are playing the Thunder, and Charlie, I thought, the Warriors are going to even the series up, go back to Oakland and take care of business. So what I did was I shipped the roll. You like that? I shipped the roll.
I don't know what that is.
The bankroll?
Thank you. Oh. I bet the bankroll on the Warriors, and there wasn't even a sweat. So now I got to go back to the drawing board, deposit more, because I got to have dollars to play with during the Blues and Shocks tonight for emotional risk management. Now, right now, the Shocks are minus 160 for this evening's game.
Which means?
You have to bet 160 to win 100.
Oh, that's pretty steep.
I know. Yeah, I thought we might be in the more 140 range, so this is a little rough. But how much is it worth? Let me, I can ask you. Everybody's got their own number. Everybody's got their own number, Charlie. Capitalism, it's wonderful. But how much is it worth to you to see the Blues in a Game 7 for the right to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals? The great people of Pittsburgh are going to see it after they go in to Tampa and win last night and force a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. How much is it worth to you to have a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals? And if you believe in emotional risk management, I'm not advocating this for everybody, this is a personal thing, but if you believe in emotional risk management, then you wager the dollar figure that is going to get you that number. So let's just say the number is $1,000. That means you would be wagering $1,600 tonight on the San Jose Sharks, because as miserable as it would be to not have a Game 7 this evening or on Friday, you would win $1,000. That's emotional risk management. It upsets some people. I'm not really sure why, because I am not a legislator forcing this on anyone, but sometimes it irritates people that I would bet against St. Louis teams, even though I want the St. Louis teams to win. It's just the way that I emotionally hedge. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless these United States of America.
Tim, I sideline as an image consultant, right?
Right.
So I'm just going to make a suggestion. Use the word threshold.
Mm.
What is the dollar amount that would get you to the threshold of emotional well-being and protect you against any sort of inner tumult if the Blues don't win?
And also the delta.
So,
well done, Charlie.
That way
you can include that.
And delta and threshold makes it seem like you're...
You know what you're talking about. Maybe throw out an expected value, EV.
I don't think there's a dollar amount. Like I said, personally, Charlie, what I do is I have a couple of boxes of Malamars in the cupboard, and I'll just eat those like one box at a time.
When the Blues lose?
Yeah.
Or the Cardinals if they give up a six spot in the first?
If that ever happened.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet. God, who the F is emailing me? My God.
That was me, Tim.
I will say this. getting off topic.
I'll tell you I'm leaving at 9:15.
It's two guys inside the damn studio.
I did not email you.
No, not you. No. I don't know if you've ever emailed me.
I think I sent two of them, yeah. The first one didn't go through. It was my
payroll
hours
day
for the
sending over the okay. That's fine. All right. What was the question? I am taking questions. Doug doesn't take questions. He's on his way to San Jose. I am taking questions. Yeah, the cat.
Tim, what do the Blues have to do tonight to win in San Jose?
Skate hard,
boys.
That was for Tim.
Skate
Charlie.
Fast.
I have a follow-up question
okay,
for
skate.
You.
Guys, do you think Tom Stillman is plopping down a half milli tonight to hedge missing out on Game 7 revenue? It's from Terry Schilling.
He's done all right. They've had a nice run. Hopefully it continues, but they've done all right, the Blues, in terms of postseason revenue. For years, they didn't get that playoff revenue because those playoff runs were cut short.
Tim, I agree. I'm placing a nickel on the Sharks. I hope I lose. Yeah, I don't know.
What's your feeling? Will the Blues win tonight?
My honest feeling is that they win, and I have no explanation for it. I don't really know what to tell you outside of that's my feeling. Doesn't mean that, of course, that'll be right. You're welcome to tweet at me or post on the fan page that I was wrong at 10 o'clock tonight or whatever, you know, fills the void in your life. That's my honest feeling. My honest feeling, my fear perhaps, is that they win tonight and they lose on Friday. And I actually think that would be worse than losing tonight. Like, you don't want to say if you had your choice. Of course, this is an absolute absurd hypothetical. But if you were to put it out there, you had the choice between the Blues losing tonight or the Blues winning tonight and then losing in Game 7 at home. I think if you really analyze the emotional impact on that, I think the bigger devastating hit would be to win tonight, be a home win away from the Stanley Cup Finals, and lose. I think that would be tougher than losing tonight. But you, of course, want to win tonight. So,
isn't there anything you take away from seeing that Game 7?
If you lose in a Game 7 at home, that's pretty damn devastating.
Because if they lose tonight, then there'll be a lot of... And I'll disagree with this. I'll say it right now, because I think the Blues have put together a very nice run comparatively to where they've been. But if they lose tonight and it's 4-2 or something, I know you're going to see the tweet, same old Blues... Which
I don't know how somebody could say that.
You don't think you're going
to
see that?
I mean, it's not to say you'll see it, but that's like when CNN writes some half-assed story and goes, there was outrage on social media.
I wrote that story for CNN.
You know, ass with 20 followers to justify the premise for clickbait.
I don't judge a man by the amount of followers he has.
But you always brag about how many you have.
Yeah, you do. I've noticed that.
I have about 11.
If they lost a tight one, maybe OT, I could live with it. I don't know if that means in Game 6 or Game 7. Losing a Game 7 at home in overtime, a goal away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in damn near 50 years, I mean, that's going to smart if that were to happen.
But won't it smart losing in San Jose in a game?
Yes, of course it will, but that's not the premise. The premise is...
No, I understand that, but I also think it's, you know, I understand the heartbreak might seem greater because you're right on the doorstep in a Game 7, but also not getting a chance to even see a Game 7 if they play poorly tonight. I'll feel probably just as bad as if they did lose a Game 7.
I agree with Tim 100%. Call it lemonading, call it being curious, but I agree with that little boy twink. Blues win tonight, no explanation as to why. That's from the Kansas City Hoosier.
I agree. I think the Blues are going to win tonight.
I have no feeling on this. Based on the way the series has gone, where it's been near impossible to handicap, I really have no... Usually I have a gut feeling. I don't have a gut feeling.
Yeah, I think really with the exception of Game 1, which is a game the Blues were outplayed, not as badly as Games 2 and 3, or as badly as the Blues outplayed the Sharks in Game 4, I don't know if I would have bet the right way, as in the outcome, on any of them. I thought the Blues were going to play much better from Game 1 to Game 2, and then the Game 3 thing was horrifying with how blasé that was. And then I never would have expected the Blues to ship the Sharks like they did in Game 4.
Roman Polak came out and said he plans on taking three bad penalties tonight.
Okay. Well, that's
so that's
good.
So we know we got that.
And
so
also
maybe
beating up,
will be called.
Beating up whatever Blues player doesn't want to fight the most.
Well, Polak said he's going after Hitch tonight. So
the Blues lose tonight because the universe hates me. Thanks, the Barnhart Brawler. No confidence from you idiots. You've now covered every scenario in which they can lose. How about some positivity? What an odd thing.
Well, didn't you guys both say you had a feeling they'd win?
Fox News viewer.
I do. How about this, too? I know this doesn't really matter. It's a media narrative, but the Sharks are the Blues in the sense of their fan base feels probably just as nervous.
Except it's only got half the duration of the tortured fan base of the Blues.
Right. But, I mean, this last 5, 10, 15 years, the Sharks have had similar playoff heartbreak. So I feel like over there, they're like, how is this going to go wrong for us as well? It's kind of like two teams that have done the same things the last few years. Somebody has to break.
So they'll both get to the Game 7 on Friday night, and then all of a sudden the Blackhawks show up.
I just think the Blues win tonight. I don't know what's going to happen in Game 7, but I feel like the Blues obviously will be the desperate team. You saw it last night in the other series where the Penguins go on the road. They force a Game 7. We see so many Game 7s in the NHL. I just feel like the Blues are going to win tonight.
Here's the difference, though. I like your scenario. I understand what San Jose and their fan base have been through. But talking to many hockey insiders, it's clear to the people that know the game that Blues fans are the best in the NHL.
Wow.
Positivity.
Okay. Good point.
I'll be watching this game in Washington. Probably on my phone.
Hopefully you get it in your hotel room.
If not, I'll watch it on my phone.
Well, I'm positive. I'm confident about it.
Telling you how I feel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Again, this isn't, as I made reference to, it's not the Fox News Festival. I'm not going to give you what you want. This is how I feel. I think they win tonight. It's not based on anything outside of what my instincts are telling me. But my fear is that then they lose on Friday night. It would be, nonetheless, even if they were to win this evening, and you would have a disappointment on Friday night, the build-up to a Game 7, a win away from the Stanley Cup Finals on a Friday night, and what that would be like in the atmosphere in that building, you know, I can't imagine anything better in the history of the organization, actually. Because, yes, they did go to the Stanley Cup Finals in the first few years. You know, the Blues were not a part of the community to the extent that they are now. It was an expansion division, totally different deal than now. So it would be, for my money anyway, the biggest game in the history of the organization on a Friday night with one win away, and it's at home to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Holy moly. And potentially against, you know, one of the more star-studded teams in the NHL with one of the most famous players in the game, if the Penguins are to win at home tomorrow night against the Lightning, another series that has been littered with unpredictability.
Boy, if the Blues advance, I really hope they play the Penguins. That would make it
more special. Couldn't agree with you more. Plow Shark, you have been all over it from the beginning. You've been monitoring preseason games really back in September. Where are you on this evening's festivities? Ladies and gentlemen, the Plow Shark.
What up, boys?
I like that.
As far as my assessment, what's going to happen tonight? I say the team plays for Brian Elliott. I think a 3-2 victory, a late goal by Fabry, maybe 6 minutes in the third period, and the Blues ship it and take it to Game 7 to St. Louis.
Wow. Well, that was very specific.
That was very stanza.
Yeah, the goal score, the time. If Fabry scores to make it 3-2, 6 minutes in, Plow Shark's going to be able to set up some kind of Miss Cleo-like phone.
I'll tell you what, if that happens, Plowsy, I'm going to start smoking what you smoke, because apparently it'll make you smart and also able to see into the future.
I heard that, Cat.
I know it's become kind of a cliche with this team, but they overcame so many injuries in the regular season. And in this playoffs, really, it seems like sometimes their backs have to be against the wall for them to come out and play that great game. And when they do, they can smoke teams. Like we saw that against Dallas, where they can come out and end that game in the first period. I'm not saying that will necessarily happen tonight against the Sharks. I think the Sharks, just matchup-wise, it's just a tougher team because they're kind of the same team as the Blues. But it would not surprise me one bit if the Blues won tonight.
Get Tinted STL Captain's Log here on the program. Get Tinted STL GetTintedSTL.com, the Captain's Log sponsor. We have Doug McLean of the NHL Network, or Rogers Sportsnet, I should say, at 7:45. Jamie McLennan, 8:50. Derek Gould at 9:15 after the Cardinals lose last night. What was it, the final 12-3? I don't know, 6-0. I'd moved on. GetTintedSTL.com or call 314-406-8489. 314-406-8489. Get Tinted STL. Our Stanley Cup playoff coverage is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch Bud Light. Bud Light, the presenting sponsor for Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You can get involved, 314-880-0808. 314-880-0808. The appliance discounter phone lines, you can text in, 314-880-0808. Guys, any word on Cucky status for the day? Sup, Chuck? That's from the White Collar Gangster.
Sup. That's Ryan.
You know what it makes me feel better about the Blues tonight? I do like the way the goaltending situation has kind of laid out right now, because Elliott's in there. He's been great, and now he'll be rested. And if there was anything to the fact that you do get a little worn down by being what you go through in the playoffs, I feel very good about Elliott and goal. That's the one thing that makes me feel really positive about the Blues, because he's been sensational.
I feel like Hitch played that right, and I think most people watching the series, watching the playoffs, feel like he made the right decisions all around there with giving Allen a shot in there. Allen gets the split, and it just seems like the right time, because although Allen played okay, and after the game Hitch said, you know, he played fine.
He was fine.
It wasn't like he played great. No terrible goals, but he was just kind of, all right, Elliott has stole games for you. Now he's rested. It makes total sense to go back to him and see what he can do.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think it has laid out very well for the Blues. Boy, it's going to be nerve-wracking watching that. I mean, playoff hockey, I mean, honestly, you feel like I'm going to have a heart attack watching this. Your team's up by a goal in the final 2 minutes, and
brutal.
That 2 minutes seems like it's an hour.
Because you're dealing with, at the very least, an extra man. Power play, you could be dealing up against two extra men. It's brutal. It's something else. And I thought last night, after being down 3-0, the Lightning had cut it to 3-2, and I'm like, man, they're going to tie this up, and they might send themselves to the Cup Finals in overtime. And instead, Pittsburgh gets the empty netter, and that wraps that up. So it goes back to Pittsburgh for Game 7. Blues hoping to do the same thing. I read this from the San Jose Mercury News this morning, and wouldn't this sound awfully familiar if I just replaced one word? After years of agony, heartbreak, and disappointment, the Sharks are one win away from advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in franchise history, which would rewrite the narrative surrounding the team's core group, one of the best collections of players in league history to never reach hockey's top showcase. Didn't that sound awfully familiar, minus the team name and the one win? And I don't know if necessarily people would say this core group is one of the best core groups to never get to the Stanley Cup. But they would say that about Thornton, Marlowe, Pavelski, Couture. If the Sharks knock off the Blues, Marlowe would get to play in his first Stanley Cup Finals after reaching the playoffs 16 times. Jeez. And advancing to the conference finals 3 times, 2004, 2010, 2011, in his 18-year NHL career. He was around for Pay Attention Roman in 2000.
Wow.
Yeah, about that. Puts that whole thing together. Yeah, he was out there playing against Al MacInnis, who was out there for the Monday Night Miracle. Game 6 of the conference finals. First time the Blues have had a Game 6 of the conference finals since the Monday Night Miracle. Oh, my. They wake up with hope and anxiety in the Mound City.
Do you think the fact that the Cardinals had the huge Game 6 with David Fries in 2011 gives us an advantage in tonight's Game 6?
Yes, I do.
Even though it's a different sport, Cat?
No, I think it makes sense, and I think it does.
I think there's something to work with there, Charlie.
Might be a nice feature.
Maybe like we do Game 6 right.
Yeah.
In the Lou.
Yep.
St. Louis fans are the best. No question.
In every sport.
Yep. Cucky the Dwarf says, put your jorts on extra tight this evesbin. Stepfather is bringing home a winnie. Cucky the Dwarf. 2-0 in Game 7s.
It is odd when you look at different social media. And I know that Blues fans, they've been long-suffering. But I'm reading some people saying, oh, the series is already over. I really don't feel that. I really don't. I know that people think that Game 5 was the big swing game. And you have the numbers where if you win Game 5, you win the series 79% of the time. But I really don't think it's over. Well, and again, there hasn't been a lot of momentum where teams have won a couple games in a row. You had the Sharks win two games in a row in this series. But almost every series the Blues have played, it's just one team wins, the other team wins. And it
there's
was not
no, there are no
Blues
swing
win.
Games. I mean, that's right. To me, that's what illustrates what's happened in this. There are no swing games. Just when you think momentum is going in this direction, it goes totally in the opposite direction.
And for whatever reason, even Patrick Berglund, he said it yesterday. We were talking to those guys at the airport that he said something. I think the word was maybe feeling pressure to win at home with the fans. And they certainly don't feel that on the road. They do play a much simpler game. Every player has said that. Hitch has said that. On the road, they play a much simpler game. And they're 6-3 on the road in the postseason.
They get too cute at home, I think, is the way it was described.
Here is some of the Blues' thoughts as they head to Game 6 this evening in San Jose. Fun with audio presented by Llewellyn's Pub. Here is what Ken Hitchcock had to say regarding Vladimir Tarasenko, who is still active on the team, and just not being heard from at all during the Western Conference Finals.
What happens with goal scorers when they get frustrated is they look to hit home runs. And we need him just to act like a worker. And I know that's a funny thing to say, but he's looking for the home run. The guy he's playing against did the same thing to Toffoli and did the same thing to Forsberg. You can't look for home runs. They're not there. You just got to stay in the program and stay with it a little bit longer and trust your work. And it's like anything else. They feel that anxiety to try to score and help the team, but it's just, instead of getting further away from the puck, it's get closer to the puck. And what he's doing is he's looking to try to catch fast breaks. He's looking to catch the other team napping. But when you play against guys like Vlasic, you're not going to catch him napping. He's just got to feel comfortable playing within the system, playing within the framework. At the end of the day, he'll be fine. And maybe he doesn't score the next game, but if he plays a good team game, then probably he's going to allow other people to score. So, you know, I think it's a natural tendency with younger players who have this heightened sense of urgency to do what they do well, which for him is score goals. And he's gotten too far away from the play. He's got himself too stretched out, and we just need him to come back to the puck a little bit.
Ken Hitchcock on Vladimir Tarasenko's performance. Says he's 100% healthy.
They always say that, though. I feel like he probably is healthy, but if he wasn't, I don't think a hockey coach during the playoffs is going to tell you. It is crazy, though, because he scored 13 points the first two series, had, I believe, 6 goals, 7 assists, and he has 0 points. He has 0 goals, 0 assists, and he's a minus 4 for this Western Conference Final. He's not a guy who plays a great two-way game anyway. So if he's not scoring when he's out there, I don't want to say he's a liability, but he's not like a Steen who gives you great defense as a forward.
No, but if you're drawing that much attention where you're a non-factor, that would indicate that other guys have gotten open or there are things opening up where other guys can do something, and we haven't seen that from him. I'm always amazed at the parallels with sports talk radio. When Hitch talks about trust your work, I mean, there have been a couple of times we've had bad segments, and Tim will tell us, trust the work we put in,
right.
And we bounce back with a good segment in the 8 o'clock hour.
When was your last good segment?
What was it, 1973, before we were actually doing a show.
Before I was actually conceived.
But the thought of Tim was enough to create a good segment.
Sure. Yeah.
That's correct. Tim, of course the Blues win tonight. It's game what? Game 6. You're the greatest, Tim. Thank you for the number 6. Go Blues. Ship it. It's a lock. That's from Humphrey. It's a great text.
It's a lemming. But I hope he's right.
It's Jordan, Jackson, Tyson, game 6? Something like that?
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
Okay.
Ha, ha, wow. Home runs aren't even a hockey stat. Maybe Hitch would win this series if he wasn't spending so much time staring at Grichuk's ass. It's a good take. It's Juan from the PP Corp. It's a very good take, actually.
So you were there talking to the Blues as they left?
Where were they flying out of? Spirit, Lambert, across the river, eh?
The Lambert, not the main terminal. You know what I'm saying? Like the charter terminal?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
It's hot.
You probably know.
It's hot. I just call it the charter terminal.
Yeah. I felt the need, though, before they get on the plane to try and hold them accountable.
You should have.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
Did anyone bring up the fact that oddly enough and strikingly enough, that Tarasenko's worst performance after he has a kid, and the fact that children make you bad hockey players. Anyone bring that up?
Yeah, that'd be a nice little feature.
He was asked about that. We said, do you want to maybe give the kid up?
Yeah.
Just for the good of the team and the fan base?
Who asked that, Rennie?
Rennie did.
Yeah. Seems like one of his types of questions.
I thought it needed to be asked, though.
Yeah. If Rennie didn't ask, you were going to ask.
That's true.
Local news is a dead media.
I don't believe that he's 100% healthy, no way. I guy that good doesn't all of a sudden forget how to play. I think that was going to be a guy that good.
I guy.
Okay, all right, I take it back. A guy that good doesn't all of a sudden forget how to play.
Well, no. Teams adjust and players go through ups and downs. This is clearly a down. I don't believe if he is banged up, it's just the normal sort of wear and tear on a player. I don't believe that there's any underlying serious injury that he's playing through. I don't think he'd be out there.
And as Hitch said, this group from the Sharks have locked up the other team's best players as well. I didn't look up the numbers. I don't know if they kept him off the score sheet altogether. And that is crazy that you can do that to Tarasenko through five games. But the Sharks have done that before. You watch him. He just seems tentative. He just doesn't seem to be a factor. Like, as you said, in previous series, if Tarasenko is getting bodied and other people are focusing on him, you've seen that line and Laterra go off, and that line is still productive. We haven't seen that in this series.
I agree. Maybe tonight, Charlie. Maybe tonight.
Hey, Tim, what's up? Has anybody joined the fan page today? Thank you.
Roll call.
Let's take a look, see if I need to approve anybody for membership, Charlie. Charlie, still in the new fan page?
I am.
Wow, holding steady.
So far, so good.
Anything good in there?
Tim?
Let's see. Good question. Thank you, Charlie. Greg Roth just said, I'm not much into gambling, but who would spend $160 only to win $100? And that's not how it works. As I think somebody explained it to Greg, you would bet $160, and if you win $100, plus you get your $160, so therefore $260 into your account. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
So you won $400.
Exactly.
Yeah. A true St. Louis sports fan today would say, you know what?
This is very local news of you. I already can see it coming.
I don't care if the Blues are not favored. I'm going to put half my bankroll on the Blues, and I'm going to put half my bankroll on the Cardinals to beat Arrieta.
Right.
He's not even that good of a pitcher.
Right.
You know what? If you really have confidence in your sports team's cat, right now, go to the bank, liquidate your assets, and bet it all against Jake Arrieta, who doesn't have a very big sample size of dominant starting pitching.
Good for you.
Most knowledgeable baseball people consider him a flash in the pan.
Let's see what a parlay that would pay. Now, the Cardinals do have Carlos Martinez going in this thing. So if you were to bet the Cardinals and Blues parlay, Charlie, let's just say we throw a 100 on that just for, you know, fun and games. Let's see. I'm going to parlay that. $100 would pay $512 if the Cardinals and the Blues were to win.
Okay.
Straight up, too, baby.
So
straight up.
If I gave you money for this parlay right now, would you place that bet?
Whatever you need.
You would do it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you $40 right now.
Wow.
Wow.
How about that? There's a whole thing going on here. Look at you.
All right,
Joe Strauss is smiling down on your rights holder commitment.
So $40 gets you about what? About 240-ish? 230?
Let's see. I typed in 400 because that's how I ball. 204.80.
205.
All right, now I got to place it. Like I told you, though, I got to reload the account after shipping the roll on the Dubs last night. Didn't even get a sweat out of it, Charlie. I didn't even get a sweat out of it.
How about that, Cat?
Hey, man, I'll tell you who's Hart. Steph
Curry. Could it be Raptors versus Thunder? I don't think so.
And then Sharks against Lightning. Mmm. It's what television executives dream of. I don't care about the television executives. I can do a whole show with callers and hosts on my own. With cut down on expenses.
Yeah, Kat and I were talking earlier about the impact that Bayak Biyombo has made for the Raptors.
Boy, he's sensational.
God, this depositing into Bovada is a MFR.
Sorry if this...
No, I was going to have to do it anyway, but it's just like... Why, you know.
A bank transaction from Latvia?
I just feel like this...
Yeah, exactly.
I just think
China,
that this wager...
Yeah. Paper company in Shanghai.
This wager will spark positivity. That's how I feel about it. I'm sending a message.
It would be incredible if they both won today. I mean, you're up against
Arrieta. I'm sending a message to Thorne, Pavelski, and Arrieta.
Yes, you are.
Can I give some advice?
To me or
to maybe switch that bet to just put it on the Blues?
Nope. Look, if you're I'm going full rights holder here. Full rights
you are.
Holder.
Never go full rights holder. Never go full rights holder. Oh,
it's
God.
It's not like Jake Arrieta is unbeatable. I'm half kidding. But I feel like in the regular season here recently, if he gives up a run, it's kind of odd. You're like, what? He gave up a run? He didn't throw a no-hitter?
The difference is there's going to be a huge afternoon crowd of the best fans in baseball rooting on the Cardinals, and that could give the Cardinals.
You think they'll get to him? They'll get under his skin?
All right. The odds have decreased from plus 155 to plus 150 on the Cardinals game. I have no idea. Maybe we're like Blue Horseshoe when we're moving action on the air. I don't know. As the Cats, your $40 will now pay $200, just FYI.
Well, because word got out about my wager.
I think so. That's all right. I'm placing the wager. There it is. Hope your kids aren't listening. I know how damaging this could be.
Taste me real good. Like, do they, like, once you place a silly bet like this, do they send you, like, a smiley face? Or, like, a winking emoji?
I just made a deposit. It's awful. God bless America, Charlie. Now, what are you going to do, though?
Never go
full rights holder.
I'm going full rights holder. I ain't scared.
I have a good feeling about this bet now, even though I shouldn't. Something weird is going to happen. Maybe you'll see... The Cubs might roll out that C lineup.
Well, look, when I get back off the road trip, if I win, I'm going to share the winnings with you, and I won't.
Oh, my gosh! Boy. Tim, I cashed an attorney last night. Just let me know if I can transfer some funds to you. Thanks, 636. So people are offering money now. That's never go full lemming. We have somebody going full rights holder and somebody going full lemming. I cashed in a tournament as well. And then I took it. I got done. Anna Marie and I were sitting on the couch. I go, Warriors are going to win this game. They're only giving up 2 points. You know what I'm going to do, Anna Marie? I'm going to ship the roll. And the roll got shipped. Gone. You know what there was? Not even a sweat.
Thunder up.
When you tell your wife about your wagers, is she like, I don't care?
She loves when I lose. She laughs about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I show her that I've assembled the 1927 Yankees in fantasy baseball, Charlie. I think you're paying homage to what I've done.
Somebody's won three straight after making several nice transactions. Plowsy, I believe
he
I left
did it
your,
again. He told me he
I believe it. I left your club in my wake.
Then he also admitted to me yesterday that you outed him for making a transaction while
did,
we're on
did
the
it,
air.
And then you did it again. Oh yeah, well on the air is one
no,
thing,
and
but
then
no,
he,
you were
and
doing
then
it
made
last
up
night
a
at
reason.
2 in the morning.
First of all, I'm up until 2 in the morning.
But even when you have to do this stupid thing in the morning,
I can't fall asleep.
Really, man, no. I got all kinds of pills for you. Let me know what you need.
I had to pick up Leonis Martin. Nine bombs, seven stolen bases.
But you did make a transaction on the air and then tried to lie about West Coast time or something, right?
It wasn't a transaction. It was one of those things where I just...
Tim was talking on the air and you were just...
Yeah, I don't know. I go, who the hell this picked up?
I feel
up
bad about this, but my
Leonis
reaction...
Martin.
Yeah, my immediate reaction was just to lie. And then I couldn't get out of it. Yeah, but yeah, we were having a Blues discussion. And I had got my take in. And after that, I wasn't that interested in the rest of the discussion. So right. I did send out a feeler... via the email of the Fantasy Baseball League that I had some players available.
And then it's kind of like when you lied about being tethered when Waino walked by at spring training.
Mm. That was not a lie. You have embellished that story for a year and a half now.
Do you really think I have?
Yeah.
Plow Shark and I are going heads up this week. I didn't realize the Plow Shark was in second place in our league.
I'll tell you what. Our league is...
full of people outside of me and you who will not trade.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. People hold on to their fantasy baseball players like they're their effing children.
We have a good middle ground, I feel like. I feel like there's more depth this year as far as, like, you play the 10th place team and the 12th place team. They're pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Seriously.
The Southside Seaman's kind of in a different class.
He's a fantasy sports snob, Tim is.
No, this is the best fantasy team I think I've ever had. I've had some bad teams, but this is unbelievable. It really is. So I was going to make a trade just because kind of like you, I like to make trades just for the fun of it. Like I saw your message yesterday. But I'm like, I just don't want to mess with this. It's too good.
Who's the commissioner?
Since I've traded all
producer
my good
Joe,
players.
And that's got Doug upset. And then Joe threw Iggy out of the league for some reason. I still don't know what happened there.
I love that producer, Joe. I just love that guy.
Something happened when Iggy was up against the non-gay in the finals. And Joe gave Iggy bad information, and Iggy continues to bitch about it, so Joe just banned Iggy from the league. I don't understand what happened. I just know that's somewhat the story.
Something about Hyunjin Ryu, I believe. It was an Asian pitcher. He sat an Asian pitcher, and if he wouldn't have sat him, he would have won the league.
I think it was
like
Ishikawa or something like that.
I remember it was an Asian pitcher.
I think that's offensive, but Henschel.
No, it's true. And speaking
yeah,
of those
Henschel
guys,
still text me.
Kenta Maeda, what's up with this guy? Starts the year, Kenta.
I hear a hot take coming.
He's like 3-0 with an ERA of like 0.4, right? So I get him in my blockbuster Mike Trout deal with producer Joe. This guy gives up four earnies every game now.
And what are you asking me? Like, is the world against you because of a...
People are talking now that because in Japan he pitched once a week, that he's not able to get on this every five-day thing.
What about Oh, who has pitched multiple innings and has proved himself to be rather durable as a piece of the Cardinal bullpen?
But bullpen pitchers, they're going to pitch multiple games regardless of the league they play in.
But his usage has been pretty high, and he's been good.
He has been good.
Tim, who's on your team? That's a great question. Thank you, Rock Hill listener. Wilson Ramos is catcher, Edwin Encarnacion, first base, Matt Carpenter, second base, Daniel Murphy, third, Carlos Correa, short, Zobris, Blackman, Ellsbury, outfield, utility position is David Ortiz, and then I have Ledmus Diaz on the bench along with David Peralta, Michael Brantley on the DL, and Adam Duvall and Jose Ramirez on that squadron.
That's a nice squad. Yeah. Now I'll say this, you have some great pieces. I would say, though, you got to think Diaz... Daniel Murphy, especially, you're going to come back to earth. Daniel Murphy,
Diaz
still
sits on my bench.
Like
he rides pine, baby. He rides pine.
And Murph took Matt Harvey deep, kind of did a little pose with his bat yesterday.
Oh, what's up, Jose Bats? Let's see what we got coming up here. Doug McLean's going to join us. It is the Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Acorns Golf Links, I keep hearing that it's supposed to storm all week. It didn't storm... hardly at all, if at all, yesterday. And then I don't believe it's rained today.
Supposedly the rain moved out.
That's great.
That's what they were saying.
So yesterday. Get on over to Acorns. Charlie, I'm coming out of retirement on the golf. I got a blister, though, from hitting balls on Saturday, which means I hold the club improperly or too tight. I don't know. I just know that's what's going on. So heads up there. But do it at Acorns and hold the club right if you can. All right, joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines to talk Blues, to talk Sharks, to talk Game 6. It is a gentleman who's been with us throughout the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs from Rogers Sportsnet, former GM of the Blue Jackets, where he hired Ken Hitchcock, former head coach of the Florida Panthers, where he made a finals run exactly 20 years ago. Now an analyst for Rogers Sportsnet, Doug McLean. Doug, good morning.
How you doing, guys?
Very good.
Nervous, right? Nervous.
Yes, exactly right.
Nervous.
That's a perfect word for nervous, anxious. At the same time, I think there's a great deal of excitement because that day, and you coached, I mean, my God, I can't imagine what it was like for you guys, that day in between the games, especially when you're coming off a loss, it seems like eternity.
Yeah, that's the worst part of it. When you're coming off a win, you feel pretty good, and you actually sometimes get a little too cocky, you know, when you've won, and you got to be a little careful. You're always concerned, scared to death about what you say. It could be used for, you know, motivation for the other team and how you deal with the media. So it's lots of – you're better off the win, though.
So
off to have the win between games.
Absolutely.
So how do you see tonight's game going? The one thing that I think everyone agrees on is it's been near impossible to handicap this series.
Like it's ridiculous. Like, seriously, when you think about it, backup goaltenders, key guys maybe hurt on the bench, you know, you just poor performances at home by both teams at certain times in the series. Like, who would believe the Blues are in the third round with a chance to go to the finals and their record at home is the way it's been?
Yeah.
It's a great accomplishment for how well they played on the road, and I think that's what Hitch and the boys would be thinking about, like, hey, we can play really well on the road. We've been a good road team all year. We're built to be a tough team to play on the road. So that's I guess, the one confident thing you can have going into tonight. But I'm nervous for them right now.
You know, outside of the home record, and here the Blues are two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals, another misnomer that would be a statistic that would stun people if you would have said this back on April 10th before the playoffs got underway is the Blues would be two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals. Vladimir Tarasenko would be out there playing the normal number of minutes that he played throughout the course of the season, or at least relatively speaking he is, and yet he would have 0 points in the first five games of that Western Conference Final. What do you think is going on with Tarasenko when you watch him, Doug?
Well, you know what? For young stars, playoff time is tough. Like, you know, you think back to the Washington series. Sid Crosby. I mean, at, you know, there were certain points in that series he hadn't scored. He had a couple assists in four or five games. I mean, he was, you know, people were on him, and all of a sudden he's got three game winners in this series. You know, so for young stars, and I'm not comparing Tarasenko to Sid, because I mean, obviously Tarasenko's got a ways to go, but it's just tough sledding out there, and you're playing against a team that is pretty sound defensively. You know, you've got to hope that there's a way to get him going, whether he scores a power play goal where there's not as much traffic, where it's not as tough to get points, that, you know, can he get something on the power play that helps get him going 5-on-5? That's what you sort of hope for. But, hey, you know, Hitchcock has talked about it. It's a learning experience for the kid, but, you know, you really need him to come through in a better way than he has. There's no doubt about it. They want the big dollars. They want the money. Now's the time of year you've got to step up. Tonight is a game Tarasenko has got to. He certainly doesn't want to get a reputation of not being a playoff performer, and that's not close to being what it is yet, but you don't want that to start to grow. He's too good a player.
And, Doug, with Tarasenko, the first two series, I mean, he was all over the score sheet, had 13 points combined against the Hawks and the Stars, and then it's just crazy that he hasn't, you know, no goals, no assists. He's a -4 in this series here against the Sharks. Do you see it as he's not engaging as much? Do you think it's more of what the Sharks are doing? And Ken Hitchcock said that yesterday, that this Sharks team has shut down, you know, the top scorer in both of their previous series, so it's not like it's something real new for them. But why do you think this is happening, I guess, is the question.
I think it, you know, you think back to the Chicago series and the Dallas series, like the number of scoring chances that were created by both teams in those series were off the, you know, over the top. I mean, I think back to the couple of those Chicago games. It was end-to-end scoring chance after scoring chance. Dallas, a ton of scoring chances in that series. Average goaltending at best by the Stars. Average at best. And all of a sudden now you've got a tighter checking team. You've got a more responsible team. You've got a more of a physical team. You've got a pretty good defense. You got big body forward. I think it's tougher to play. I really do. So in fairness to Tarasenko, I think you're up against a lot tougher team. And don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. San Jose know that if they can shut down Tarasenko, they've got a chance to beat the Blues. I mean, that would be a focal point in every San Jose meeting. Okay, this guy is a game breaker. This guy's potentially a game breaker. You got to know where he is all the time on the ice. And they've done a heck of a job in most games keeping the Blues to the outside. I mean, the Blues have controlled the puck at times in the offensive zone, but can't get it to the slot area, can't find a way to get it to the net. And that, you know, the Blues have been so good along the boards, so good along the wall, so good along the, you know, below the goal line, creating offense, but they haven't been able to create nearly as much in this series. And it's just give credit where credit's due. San Jose's been pretty good.
I like the way Hitchcock handled his goaltending situation, and then the way it plays out tonight. You get Elliott back in there, and he's well rested, and I think that bodes well for the Blues. How do you see it?
You never want to take your number one guy out. You never want to do it. And I've never seen a series, a playoff year where how many backups have actually had to come in. I mean, whether it's Pittsburgh, you can't say Fleury's a backup at $6 million, but he is right now. But it's happened all over the league. Dallas couldn't figure out who their number one was. It cost them dearly because both of them weren't very good. You hate taking Elliott out, and now Hitch is saying, well, it's his series to win. Well, it wasn't 2 days ago. Now it is because he's got no choice. I don't like the fact that he came out. And, you know, yeah, it happened to win a game. It was a great move. But now with Elliott going back in, there's a ton of pressure on Elliott right now, a ton that he doesn't need. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. He's been good all playoff. You're right, he is rested. But there's a ton of pressure on this guy tonight on the road going in goal. But, hey, Murray did it last night as a 21-year-old for Pittsburgh. So Elliott, who's been unbelievable for me, he's been their MVP throughout the playoffs. He deserves a chance tonight, and it's good to see him back in there.
Doug McLean, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. It is our Bud Light Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tim McKernan, Jimmy DeCat-Hayes, Charlie Marlowe with you in the Acorns Golf Links
7 o'clock hour as we talk Blues and Sharks. But you just made reference, Doug, to what took place last night in Tampa. For Blues fans who may be feeling like the inevitable may be upon them when they go into the Sharks building with San Jose a win away from their first Stanley Cup Finals, you can maybe take some solace in seeing how well the Penguins played last night in Tampa. Your thoughts on that series and the Game 7 that we will get to witness tomorrow night in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Hard to believe you're one game away from getting a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Final, and you've got a no-show like Tampa throughout last night. 11 shots on goal after two periods. I mean, they were pathetic in two periods. I mean, granted, that foolish offside rule, that foolish replay rule that they throw in there, it costs them the goal right off the top, and they, it, you know, what, 14:48 of the first period, Drew has scored, they score, he's offside. And they seem to be rattled. They seem not to be able to recover from that, and it took the crowd out of the game.
Yeah.
It was frustrating, but they were awful for two periods. Then they come on the third and mounted a little pressure, and Murray was good in goal. But, I mean, that was a game they did not deserve to win. So pressure on the Sharks tonight. There's lots of pressure on the Sharks at home tonight to put it away because they know if they go back to St. Louis, it's not going to be easy. So I guess we're cliche after cliche here, boys. But, I mean, there's a ton of pressure on the Sharks. And they're two good teams, and this is a series that could go either way.
Yeah, it would be incredible to have a Game 7 back-to-back night. Would it be something else? And here in St. Louis, to have a Game 7 on a Friday night, a win away from the first Stanley Cup Final since 1970. Oh, my God, it gets
me fired. Is that ball team playing yet? Are they playing?
Which one are you making reference to?
The one in St. Louis. Are they playing now, or is it just hockey?
You know what? The Cardinals are playing the Cubs this week, which usually owns the city, and I think we've spent about, for real, on this show, about 10 minutes on it this week.
That's hard to believe, isn't it, in St. Louis? It's hard to believe, but that's great. That's exciting.
The Blues have owned the market here over the last few weeks, and what this would mean to the organization.
Stan Musial would not be happy. Bobby Plager would be, Stan Musial not.
Doug McClain with us here of Rogers Sportsnet giving us his opinion on the Blues and Sharks. Game 6 tonight. Maybe we see a Game 7 in St. Louis Friday night. Doug, thanks so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Doug McClain with us on the Appliances Kind of Phone Lines. He does not like that offsides instant replay rule that the Blues have been victims of. I think they got the call right two of the times, but the one against the Blackhawks in Game 2 month and a half ago almost at this point was the one that got that whole thing going. And I think we've seen two since then, so a total of three. And we saw it last night in the first period where Ningy thought they were up 1-0, got taken away, and then Pittsburgh went on to score three straight before Tampa rallied in the third.
I didn't like that he called the Cardinals that ball team.
You're a guy that just went full rights holder and parlayed
exactly
the Cardinals and the Blues. Full rights holder. I'm hoping you win. I'll throw a little taste on it, too. Don't know how likely it is, but
I thought he was talking about St. Louis FC.
Maybe the Rammies. Maybe he was, like, digging the Rammies.
You think he was taking a shot at us, trolling us?
Yeah. I've noticed the San Jose columnists and the San Jose Mercury News beat writer have been, you know,
but
Joe Staley's here, didn't see any Rams in St. Louis. I'm just like, what?
Why would they do that? I don't get that.
You know. I don't know. I mean, like it's one thing if you're just like a fan or you're kind of like a jackass radio personality in the market. Not that I would know anything about what that would be like. But if you're the beat reporter, the hell?
They're like, we got a team in Santa Clara.
That had
part of the
worse attendance
market
than we had here last year. And they were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. Oh, whatever. I don't know. We're not going to be able to get the story out. The narrative is what the narrative is, and that St. Louis didn't support the Fighting Rammies. Hey, L.A.'s getting a Super Bowl. Kind of surprised to see that happen.
You knew that one was coming, Cat. 2021.
Honestly, I don't care anything about the Rams. I'll watch the NFL when it comes to the playoffs, I suppose. I'm going to root against the Rams at every opportunity. I hope they suffer 17 different painful groin injuries.
These players that did so much in our local community?
Don't get me wrong. It's not the players' fault, but that's the way I feel.
Guys, if the Blues lose, would you rather play the Penguins or the Ning for third place? Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
That third place game will be exciting.
It'll be fun.
Because there's no pressure. You know, players are...
You just go out there and play the game that you grew up on the frozen ponds of Alberta. Stephen Wildwood is a few wins away, or a few days away, I should say, from winning the email of the month in May. Stunning. And how about this? I mean, you want to talk about storylines, okay? You guys are going to be covering the Cardinals and the Cubs and Jake Arrieta and Carlos Martinez, and that's great. Doug's out in San Jose, and he's going to be covering Game 6. These are the stories I cover because these are the stories that the people care about. It's like when you go on TMZ and you see stories about Rob Kardashian and Black China, and you go, what the hell is this about? But that's actually what the people, the sophisticated Ivy Leaguers care about. Well, here's the story that you just won't believe. Misty Plops, who was within shouting distance of Stephen Wildwood, now two games back with four to play, sent in an email yesterday. He sent in an email, or she sent in an email yesterday, but sent it to the wrong address. As a matter of fact, sent it to him or herself.
Wow. How do you know about this?
Seamonster was live tweeting it.
That's kind of like not signing your scorecard properly at the Masters.
Yep. Bob Golby says thank you.
So you're telling me that a veteran emailer in the heat of one of the most hotly contested email of the month battles we've ever had had that kind of faux pas?
Yep. And now Misty Plops is in a position where he or she can't have a Stephen Wildwood win today. Stephen Wildwood has a commanding two-email lead.
I mean, he has destiny in his own hands.
You were sitting there going, yeah, it probably isn't going to happen. And then all of a sudden, now you're going, okay, it's May 25th. Monday's an off day. Stephen Wildwood, this guy's got a real chance to do it. At the same time, I saw the Sea Monster was scheduling on our behalf on Monday that if the Blues were to win, that we would have a show. I'm going to get an emergency board meeting together on that because there would be game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. So we can't take that day off. Now, you're probably out of town anyway. The Cardinals out of town?
I'm out of town.
There you go.
Brujas?
Yeah, that's correct.
Huge game. So that would be something, because I, you know, Blues lose, and I'm in Las Vegas indefinitely.
Blues Why come win. Back if they lose? Just stay out there. There's nothing to live for.
We got a break. We're approaching the top of the hour, and then the get upset and yell at the Sea Monster and the Plow Shark. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After.